Welcome to As It Is, a 30-minute program designed for English learners. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English.
We also explain words and language rules, all while bringing you stories and information from around the world. Today on the program, we will have stories from Brian Lynn, Mernush Karimian Ainsworth, Patrick Minicha, Pete Musto, and Dan Friedel. After What's Trending Today, Katie Weaver will tell us about a new national monument in the United States. But first, Brian Lynn brings us a report about Secretary of State John Kerry's recent trip to Nigeria.
U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry says the best way for governments to stop extremist groups is to fight corruption and reduce poverty. Kerry was speaking during a visit last week to Nigeria. He met with the country's top Muslim leader, Saladu Abubakar, Sultan of Sokoto, in northern Nigeria. Kerry said it is up to governments to give people reasons not to join extremist movements.
To win the struggle for the future, nations need to do more than just denounce bankrupt, dead-end ideologies that the terrorists support. They also have to offer their citizens an alternative that is better.
Kerry added that people who believe the government system is failing them may eventually become demoralized. The Secretary of State condemned the Nigerian-based Islamic extremist group Boko Haram. The group has been fighting for 7 years to establish an Islamic government in northern Nigeria. It has so far killed more than 20,000 people and displaced up to 2.7 million.
Boko Haram boasts no agenda other than to murder teachers, burn books, kidnap students, rape women and girls, and slaughter innocent people, most of whom are Muslims.
Nigeria's military has made progress against Boko Haram in recent years, but the fighting has put millions at risk of starvation. As Secretary Kerry arrived, the military claimed it had killed senior Boko Haram fighters in an attack in the northeast. A military statement said the group's leader, Abubakar Shekau, was also believed to have been fatally wounded. The secretary linked the fight against groups like Boko Haram to rampant government corruption in Nigeria. Analysts say one reason that so many of the country's 170 million people are living in poverty is corruption. Nigerian President Muhammadu Buhari was elected after promising to fight corruption. He says he has made the issue a priority. He spoke about his efforts after meeting Kerry in the capital, Abuja. "We will retrain our staff," Buhari said, "and those who run afoul of these rules will be prosecuted, no matter who is involved." Some observers say Buhari has broken campaign promises by putting too few reforms in place to crack down on looters. But Kerry said the U.S. supports Buhari's anti-corruption policies.
"Already, President Buhari is working with civil society to encourage official transparency and accountability. It is so important to restoring trust among the people.
Kerry also issued an indirect warning to Nigeria's military, which has been accused of carrying out atrocities. Amnesty International and Human Rights Watch have issued reports on the military's activities. Both reported cases of soldiers torturing Boko Haram suspects and killing members of another separatist group and a Shiite Muslim sect.
It is understandable that in the wake of terrorist activity, some people are tempted to crack down on everyone and anyone who could theoretically pose some sort of a threat. Extremism cannot be defeated through repression or just creating fear.
I'm Brian Lynn.
Two people in the United States died over the weekend after they were struck by lightning. The number of deaths from lightning-related accidents in 2016 rose to 29. It is the highest amount of deaths from lightning strikes since 2010, according to the National Weather Service. The latest lightning-related deaths happened in the states of Colorado and Michigan on August 19th. Even though there are 4 months left in the year, the 2016 toll has already exceeded last year's 27. 8 people have died from lightning in August of this year, making it the deadliest August since 2007. July is usually the month with the most fatalities. This year, 12 people were killed by lightning in July. John Jensenius, an NWS lightning safety specialist, believes that the rise in lightning-related deaths was due more to people's behavior than science. People are outside, enjoying beaches in the summertime. There's not much variance in lightning activity, Jensenius said. Fridays have been the deadliest day of the week in 2016, which Jensenius said was unusual. Usually, the highest number of incidents occur on Saturdays and Sundays when Americans are outside barbecuing and enjoying other weekend activities. Florida has had the highest number of lightning deaths in 2016, with 6 people. Louisiana followed with 4 lightning-related fatalities, and then New York with 3. Deaths from lightning strikes were reported in the hundreds each year in the 1940s and 1950s because there were more farmers riding tractors in open fields, Jensenius said. Since then, deaths from lightning have decreased significantly. The chances of being struck by lightning in a lifetime remain low. About 1 in 12,000 people will be struck by lightning in their lifetime. Out of every 10 people struck by lightning, one of them will die. Even though the odds are low, Jensenius wants people to be more careful. If you can hear thunder, you're close enough to be struck, he said. Jensenius advises people to get inside during thunderstorms to avoid the risk of being struck by lightning. I'm Mernush Karamian Ainsworth.
A new study suggests that recent college graduates have a good chance of finding employment. The website Career Builder published a survey. The website reports on the U.S. job market. It found that 67% of employers plan to hire new college graduates this year. They also found that 27% of employers will be hiring recent graduates for jobs that pay up to $57,000 a year. Career Builder said the improving economy and the rise in retirements of older workers is raising the need for young professionals. There is, however, a concern that young graduates are not ready for life after college. Another Career Builder survey of 2,186 hiring professionals found that they worry new college graduates lack professional experience. They blame universities for placing too much attention on teaching academic subjects that do not relate to real jobs. The hiring professionals suggest that schools should give more support to experience gained through internships. They also said universities are not preparing their graduates well enough for jobs that involve new technologies. The survey found that business, computer science, and engineering fields were seeking new workers the most. The biological sciences, architecture, and education fields needed fewer new workers. Career Builder's advice to young graduates looking for jobs was to follow companies they like on social media. The website also suggested students write blogs about their career interests. I'm Patrick Melanchier.
American men weigh about 7 kilograms more now, on average, than they did 20 years ago. The United States Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, or CDC, reported the finding earlier this month. The CDC report noted that the average weight for American men over the age of 20 is 88.7 kilograms. That amount is based on information gathered between 2011 and 2014. Between 1988 and 1994, the average weight of an American man was 82 kilograms. Over the 20-year period, the average height of men did not change. The report said American women and children have also gained weight. The average woman weighed 64 kilograms in 1960, and now weighs 76 kilograms. On average, the weight of adolescent boys and girls increased 5.4 kilograms over the past 20 years. The report did not tell why the average weight of Americans increased, but many studies show a large number of people in the United States are obese. Obesity is a condition in which the body stores large, unhealthy amounts of fat. Obese individuals are considered overweight. The information for the new report was gathered from 19,000 people. They took part in the National Health and Nutrition Examination Survey from 2011 to 2014. CDC officials say about 35% of Americans are obese. Obesity can cause many health problems, including heart disease, stroke, type 2 diabetes, and some kinds of cancer. There was some good news from the report. It noted that the rate of weight increase for men appears to be slowing. Since 2002, the average weight of men has increased by just 2.3 kilograms. Gautam Rao heads the Department of Family Medicine and Community Health at Case Western Medical Center in Ohio. Rao told ABC News the rate of increase in weight of American men, women, and children is always a cause for alarm. He said there are some easy ways to prevent weight gain, including choosing water over sugary drinks and taking part in some kind of physical activity every day. Rao said that people should not worry about each pound they lose, but should instead think about adopting healthy behaviors that can last a lifetime. I'm Pete Musto.
Tyler Skluzacek's father, Patrick, could not sleep through the night. It was 2007, and Patrick had just returned from a year in Iraq, where he was a convoy commander in the U.S. Army. Patrick Skluzacek was energetic and happy when he left for Iraq, Tyler says. But when he returned, he was unhappy and drinking alcohol too much. I didn't like it, Tyler says. I really did not know what was going on. It turned out Patrick Skluzacek was suffering from sleep panic attacks. The nighttime panic attacks are a form of post-traumatic stress disorder. Patrick would wake up every night around 3 a.m. as if someone had shocked him with a jolt of electricity. His heart would beat too fast. He would sweat. He would be so awake that it would be hard to get back to sleep. The nighttime panic attacks prevented Patrick from feeling good the next day. He did not do well at work because he was so tired. It was a bad, bad phase in my life. Really bad, Patrick said. Almost 10 years later, Tyler was in a position to help his father. He was about to graduate from a college in Minnesota. Tyler was studying math and computer science. He thought he could make a computer program that might help his father. So he entered a competition in Washington, D.C. He and three other students worked together to solve the problem Tyler's father and other U.S. war veterans were having. People called them night terrors. The students had 36 hours to come up with a program, They called it My Bivvy. That name comes from bivouac, a military term for a safe place to sleep. The application uses a smartwatch and a smartphone together. The watch tracks the wearer's heartbeat. It sends the data to the program on the smartphone. Research shows that a person's heart rate will increase right before a night terror. So if the wearer's heartbeat started to rise, My Bivvy would respond. The smartwatch would vibrate and gently wake up the sleeping person. That was enough to prevent a night terror from happening. Patrick did not know that he was his son's test subject. He wore the watch for 2 weeks to get used to it. Then, without telling his father, Tyler turned on the application. On the first night, the vibrations from the watch prevented 10 nightmares. Patrick said he had not slept that well in many years, but he did not know why. It turned out that it was because of the app. Tyler and his team won the contest in Washington, D.C. The prize was $1,500. Then the group tried to raise more money from investors, and they were surprised when they took in over $25,000 using the online site Kickstarter. They entered another competition and won that one, too. By the spring of 2016, Tyler and his team were testing the app with volunteers and hoped to make it available to the public soon. I'm Dan Friedel.
This is What's Trending Today. The MTV Network held its Video Music Awards, or VMAs, Sunday night. Social media users are still talking about the stars and performances at the ceremony. Rihanna was honored with the Michael Jackson Video Vanguard Award. Her friend, singer Drake, introduced her and presented her with the award. In his speech, he declared his love for the singer. "She's someone I've been in love with since I was 22 years old," Drake told the crowd. He then tried to kiss Rihanna on stage. The media has long questioned the nature of Rihanna's and Drake's relationship. Is it romantic, or is it just friendship? One fan tweeted that she thought Drake might ask Rihanna to marry him Sunday night. Another asked if this meant their relationship was now official. Whatever Drake meant, Facebook posts and tweets seemed to approve the message. One Twitter user asked, "Can someone get me a Drake, please?" Singer Beyoncé arrived at the VMAs with her daughter Blue Ivy by her side. Her appearance was also a popular subject of social media discussion. The 4-year-old Blue Ivy wore an $11,000 gown and a diamond tiara. One Twitter user said the little girl stole the show. But some social media users criticized the amount of money spent on the child's clothing and jewelry. Social media was also excited about Alicia Keys at the VMAs. She reportedly went without wearing any makeup on her face. Many applauded her decision. One Twitter user wrote, I love Alicia Keys' no makeup movement. Another wrote that Keys' decision was something for women to get inspired by. And that's what's trending today.
President Barack Obama has named a new national monument in the northeastern state of Maine. Businesswoman Roxanne Quimby gave the 35,000 hectares of land to the government. The gift honored the 100th anniversary of the National Park Service. National Park Service Director Jonathan Jarvis said, "I can't think of a better way to celebrate the anniversary." He called the land in Maine's North Woods extraordinary. The Katahdin Woods and Waters Monument includes the east branch of the Penobscot River. From the land, Maine's tallest mountain, Katahdin, can be seen. Many animals live on the land, including moose, black bears, coyotes, deer, and bald eagles. Interior Secretary Sally Jewell said the gift would permit the area to remain accessible to current and future generations of Americans, ensuring the rich history of Maine's hunting, fishing, and recreation heritage will forever be preserved. Supporters of the monument say it will create hundreds of jobs in an area affected by the closing of paper factories. But opponents fear it will hurt efforts to rebuild a forest-based economy in the area. Earlier this year, the Maine State Legislature said it opposed federal ownership of the land. Governor Paul LePage also opposed creation of the monument. Lucas St. Clair is Roxanne Quimby's son. He has led the efforts in recent years to create the monument. Many parks over the history of the park system have been criticized upon creation, he said. But when we look to the future, we see huge amounts of success. Quimby began buying the land in the 1990s. She wanted it to be named a national park. But only Congress can create new parks. The president has the power to create national monuments without the approval of Congress. Many national parks, including the Grand Canyon National Park, were monuments before becoming parks. The land has a value of $60 million. Quimby gave $20 million to help care for it. She plans to help raise another $20 million for the effort within 3 years. I'm Katie Reaver.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.